Hello, welcome back to another episode of In the Money. I'm Constantine Vrondopolo with Fidelity's Trading Strategy Desk. With me, as always, Tony Zhang, Chief Strategist at Options Play. Tony, it's great to see you. Good to have you back.
Thank you so much, KV. It's a pleasure to be back.
Tony, markets generally have been under some pressure here over the past week. We're obviously seeing a decent-sized relief rally here off the lows today, intraday, but equities largely down, peak to trough in the past week, anywhere between 4.5% to 5%. Bonds not really providing any relief to investors. U.S. Treasury yields are higher. Commodities generally over the past week lower. And the only thing that I'm seeing that's bright green on the screen for the past week is implied volatility metrics for equities, commodities, and bonds. How are you interpreting all of this? What are the key takeaways here from the market action that we're observing, Tony? And where do you see us going in the near term?
Yeah, thank you so much, KV, for that setup. And you're absolutely right. Equities have been under pressure here over the last week or so. But I will say that that pressure for me is welcomed because over the last, call it 10 weeks or so, we've had continuous back-to-back record highs in equities. But that was largely driven by a very few concentrated names driving the markets higher, while the rest of the market didn't participate at all. And those types of conditions lead themselves potentially to quick, fast, violent pullbacks when investors sort of head for the exits all at the same time in those few concentrated names. Instead, what we want to see is more orderly markets, and arguably the pressure that the markets have been in over the last 5-6 trading sessions have allowed a bit more of a rotation underneath the surface, which is one thing that I think is important to take a look at. For right now, I think there's largely three primary drivers of the market. First, you know, you have inflation. CPI came in a little bit hotter than expected yesterday, but the important detail is that the core number came in cooler than expected. So energy is accounting for roughly 60% of the increase in inflation these days, while non-energy basket continues to show disinflation. And I think that is a component that's helpful for the Fed, as the 10-year yields did come down a little bit, but it still stays fairly elevated above 4.5%. That is the one thing that I think we have to keep an eye out on, because right now there's still the possibility of a December rate hike as opposed to talking about rate cuts. And that's always going to put a bit of a lid on how high equities can go. If you look at the S&P 500 right now, we've been talking about that $7,100 support level on S&P 500. That is still my, you know, where any form of meaningful support resides to the downside. So we're still about roughly 3% from that downside target, even though today we're seeing a little bit of an intraday rally here on the back of a Truth Social post about no longer hitting Iran or escalating in Iran for diplomacy. However, we'll see if that can last here, especially if S&P stays below 7350. My view is that there's still a chance that, you know, we trade down to that $7,100 level where we see more meaningful support. And, you know, like I said, as we've sold off, we've seen a pretty interesting rotation underneath the surface. The AI chip complex has been under pressure. But if you look at RSP, the equal weight S&P 500 index, that has essentially stayed resilient through this sell-off. And that's a silent rotation that we're seeing underneath the surface. We see healthcare, we see industrials, we see infrastructure, we see quite a few other industries that are showing some strength here, including capital markets, the banks, even some retail names showing some strength here. And that's really where, you know, this type of pause here in this rally with a rotation is actually healthy for the broader markets, and I'm welcoming that. We're also seeing some of the growth names pull back to more interesting support levels and more compelling fundamentals to seek further upside exposure rather than chasing these few AI stocks at all-time highs, hoping that they go even higher. I think that's always a difficult position to be in. The other thing that's been driving the markets is still the Middle East, the war in the Middle East. You know, right now, what we have seen is that energy is really the primary driver of inflation, which does mean that our concerns around inflation is back to this, is this transitory or, you know, and we certainly seem to feel that this is more in the transitory camp with regards to oil. But the question is really, how long can this conflict in the Middle East continue to go on for? And from my perspective, it looks like it's going to go on for much longer than we originally anticipated. With that, as you said, commodities are under pressure. You see GLD broke below that $400 level that we highlighted last week on the show. That's showing me that risk on is not all, you know, we're not seeing risk on across the board, that safe havens is not providing protection. It's really oil that I think provides a little bit more of a hedge at the moment rather than gold. And you mentioned implied volatility. You have the VIX back above 20% here. And, you know, we've seen it. We're starting to see a really significant spread between implied versus realized volatility. You know, with the VIX at around 20%, in realized volatility is still sitting somewhere in the 13% range. So we've got a pretty big spread here. And that does offer some opportunities if you feel heading into tomorrow's mega IPO that we're going to see a little bit more stability from the markets. It is an opportunity to potentially start selling some premium here in some of the names that I have pulled back here over the last week or so. And that brings us to SpaceX, the largest IPO in history. There are a lot of eyeballs on this particular name. It's nearly four times oversubscribed with 30% retail participation, which is significantly higher than we've seen in any other IPO in the history. And by all means, this is an IPO that we have that is very non-traditional in almost all formats, including size. So $75 billion being pulled to fund this IPO has clearly come out of some of the growth in AI stocks over the last week or so. And I think that contributes and explains some of the pullback that we've seen in the growth names here over the last week or so. But however, if you look at kind of pre-IPO premiums, they have compressed a lot over the last few weeks. So my base case right now is perhaps to see a more of a mild run-up tomorrow, maybe towards the $2 trillion mark in terms of market cap, rather than you know, a buying frenzy going into that IPO tomorrow. And we really have to remember, you know, it's one thing to look at it from a company perspective, which looks like a really interesting company that SpaceX is, and to decouple that with it as an investment, because we have to recognize that SpaceX is trading at 100 times revenue, which is incredibly high from a valuation perspective. And it's hard to justify, you know, from an investment perspective, while still respecting, you know, what seems like a really interesting company that is available for the public to invest in.
Yeah, Tony, you know, I always give credit to where credit is due. And back on May 14th, when I was hosting the show last, you were laying out a pretty strong case for the potential upcoming volatility in the S&P 500. And that, in your opinion, was forewarned by the breadth divergence, the breadth actually narrowing rather than expanding into new highs. Well, that downside volatility is materializing right now over the past week. As you mentioned, the breadth under the hood is actually expanding now, healing under the hood. And I'm assuming that based on that broadening equity market internal sort of a dynamic, you have some trade ideas that you are looking to put on to take advantage that you would like to cover today. So let's get into the first one.
Yeah, the first one to take a look at here is XLE, the energy ETF. Because energy has certainly pulled back here a little bit over the last few weeks as the focus shifts a little bit away from the Middle East and oil. But from my perspective, the macro setup still supports a pretty significant floor for oil prices going forward, because the Middle East conflict remains unresolved. If anything, we've seen a bigger escalation here in the last few weeks, and the disruptions with regards to oil supply in the Middle East really has not changed in the last going into 3 months now. And at the moment, you know, the EIA's outlook assumes that shipments only start recovering in Q3, with traffic really not normalizing into 2027. And that is really by, you know, off of just optimism, to be perfectly honest. I don't think there are any signals that suggest that that's where traffic is going to resume. So from my perspective, I think that the recent pullback here for XLE towards that $54, $55 support zone is one that will likely hold for the foreseeable future until we see more of a resolution. And at the moment, it doesn't seem like diplomatic resolutions are working, nor do further escalations seem to be moving the needle in that particular case. So from my perspective, even if the headlines cool temporarily like we saw today, the uncertainty around shipping will keep the geopolitical risk premium embedded into the crude prices and will keep them elevated, you know, in that roughly 25-30% below above pre-war levels. And you know, at these levels, these energy companies are generating a substantial amount of cash flow, which provides a much better hedge against inflation than gold in this environment that doesn't generate any income. So from my perspective, I don't necessarily know that I don't want to chase upside here in energy, but I do think that a downside floor has been established and will likely stay in place for the foreseeable future. So I think the way to play this is to take advantage of that elevated implied volatility that you were just referring to before and look at selling put options here on XLE and essentially establish a neutral to bullish view by selling that July $57 put. Earlier today, you can collect about $1.35 for that put option, which puts a break-even price of $55.65. And that means you're risking $5,565 to potentially acquire these shares if the stock is below $57 at that July expiration. But by collecting $1.35 per share on that, you're collecting 2.4% of the ETF's value in just a little over 30 days. That annualizes out to over 25%. A yield on this particular cash that you're setting aside to potentially acquire these shares. And if you do end up being put these shares, you're essentially buying it at those April lows, which I would feel pretty comfortable doing here right now these days.
Yeah, Tony, I would like to lay out a little context around the implied volatility conversation, specifically as it pertains to sectors in the S&P 500. XLE, of course, is a proxy for the energy sector of the S&P 500, one of the 11 sectors in the S&P. It is barely concentrated in the top three names, representing close to 50% of the market capitalization of that underlying, of course. But implied volatility-wise, when it comes to the cost of options, so for XLE, looking out 30 days, the implied volatility sits at 28% annualized. Now, if we compare that to the S&P 500 by the proxy of SPY, well, for SPY, it's 18% annualized. And that is after the fact that we've seen some decent expansion in the S&P volatility over the past week. So XLE at 28% is only second to XLK, which is the technology sector, sitting at 37% annualized. So relatively elevated vol, not the highest that we have seen this year, but certainly up there, significantly higher than the 50th percentile for the past 52 weeks. Tony, for the audience, everyone who would like to maybe go along with your trade thesis, put on some bullish delta, but would not like to entertain buying XLE shares if the price goes below the put strike that you're selling, how would you recommend marrying suggesting a management of this trade strategy if XLE continues to go south?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I always say it's best to have a plan for if the trade doesn't go in your favor before you get into the trade so that you have a better shot of following through that when it really hits the fan, if so to speak. And you know, there's a few ways that you can do this. One, you can manage these trades before expiration. If you manage these trades before expiration, let's say you have a rule of thumb where 2 weeks out from expiration, if the stock is trading below that strike price, you start closing out this particular trade. That would be the first step that I would take to potentially manage something like this, where if the stock is below $57 2 weeks before expiration, that would be an indication that it might be time to buy back these puts so that you don't have an assignment risk as you get closer to expiration. The other thing that you could potentially do to offset some of the risk here is also just buying a lower put. It doesn't eliminate the probability of owning this particular stock, but it does put a floor into the downside that if you do end up owning the stock, of how far this stock can potentially go to the downside. So there's a few different ways that you can do that. But from my perspective, probably the easiest thing to do is just manage these trades prior to expiration, where your chances of early assignment or assignment at expiration is fairly low if you do that.
Sounds good, Tony. Well, very well laid out. Thank you for that idea. We have one more for the audience today, and it looks like it's in the industrial space.
Yeah. So, you know, when we look at that rotation underneath the surface, one of the areas that we're seeing that rotation is within the industrials sector. And GE has actually been in one of the strongest growth stories in this particular industry or sector. If you look at the stock here, it recently broke above that $320 resistance level, which now becomes key support. And so far, it looks like it's holding that particular level. And we're seeing not only that breakout on an absolute basis, but if you look at the relative strength to the S&P 500, it's continuing to push to new relative highs on strong volumes. And, you know, our new upside target here is around 350 to the upside, which aligns with the prior highs that we saw earlier this year. And, you know, GE, from a business perspective, we have to understand that, you know, while they are selling engines to jet manufacturers, you know, the predominant value in the business is actually in the servicing business of those engines to the massive installed base of jet engines. You know, nearly 70% of their revenue comes from parts and services. They actually don't make a lot of money selling the engines themselves, but rather on the servicing and the parts for it, similar to sort of the razor blade model, if you will, where you sell the razor blade for at cost, and then you make your money back on selling the razor blades themselves. So it's interesting to apply that kind of business model to what is a large industrial aerospace business. But, you know, the services business has grown 40% year over year. Spare parts has rose more than 25%. And this is the part that airlines can't pull back on spending, you know, regardless of where fuel costs are. And if anything, you know, the higher fuel costs go, the more likely they're going to focus on efficiencies on their engines. And that's really where, you know, GE is also a leader in that particular space in terms of their overall engines. So their backlogs are still extremely strong, about $190 billion in backlog, $170 billion in commercial services backlog. So we're talking about years of revenue visibility. And, you know, orders have jumped nearly 87% year over year. So we're seeing what is a business that's essentially firing on all cylinders, that's looking incredibly strong. So I want to take a similar approach here for GE as I do for XLE, because, like I said, the current market environment, option premiums are relatively elevated, compared to realized. And I think there's an opportunity to be selling premium in some of these names. So I'm also going out to July. But because this is a much higher priced stock, instead of selling a short put, I'm going to sell a put vertical here to reduce, number one, the amount of capital required to get into the trade, but also the total risk on the trade. I'm selling the 320-300 put vertical. I'm essentially selling the 320 puts and then buying the 300 puts. Earlier today, you can collect about $7.15. And that comes with a total risk of $1,285 per contract to potentially make that $715. And that will be true if the stock stays above 320, I will be able to make that $7.15. And if the stock is below 300, that's where I will lose that maximum full profit, maximum loss of $1,285.
Yeah, Tony, I'm certainly noticing and sensing a theme here in the option structure selection today. It looks like you are favoring selling elevated premiums to put on some bullish delta exposure in the underlying. Quick observation On GE from the options trade desk here at Fidelity. Wanted to mention that over the past 3 months worth of trading, GE average daily options volume has been just shy of 20,000 contracts a day, which is generally a little lower than some of the other commonly known names in the similar $100 billion plus club category that our listeners may have heard of, which means essentially that bid offer spreads are a little wider on these options. And Fidelity does its absolute best to get you the best execution possible. But we would encourage you to be thinking of utilizing limit orders, putting in the credit that you're willing to accept when you are executing your entry into this credit spread strategy. Tony, one look back trade that needs some management in your view, the one that you laid out back on May 14th, to be exact.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, this was the show that you were on where I essentially laid out the risk, the downside risk that I started to see build up in the markets with regards to just how narrow and how concentrated the markets were getting. And we looked at buying the 745, 710 put vertical on SPY expiring in June, which is next Friday. We bought that spread for about $7.88. And with the pullback that we saw here over the last week or so, that's spread is now trading around $16, a little over $16 earlier today. So essentially made slightly over 100% of the capital that we invested in this particular trade. Now, due to the IPO that we currently see here in with SpaceX tomorrow, which I think will likely bring a little bit of stability back to this particular sell-off here, my view is that at this stage, it's probably best just to close out this trade, take your profits, and move on. I do think that there's still some risk that the market in terms of SPY pulls back to that 710 level, which is the short strike of my short put. But with only 8 days left to go, my view is that it's best to take profits and move on.
Yeah, Tony, I mean, back then, this was almost a month ago, to be exact. We talked about it as a partial portfolio hedge. Implied volatility of options and SPY were at some of the lowest that we have seen in quite some time. You deemed that structure to be really stable and relatively cheap versus history. I think and hope that our listeners have learned something from this example of the expiration selection, of the structure selection, that it actually did work as a partial hedge. SPY is lower. Back on May 14th, it was trading at around 748. So SPY is significantly lower than that, but that partial hedge did its job in this uncertain time. And so if you are ever going to be uncertain again about the near-term potential portfolio beta allocation, maybe think about executing a similar structure with similar forward timeframes in mind. Tony, that brings us to a close. I really wanted to thank you for bringing fresh and new ideas to us all each and every week.
Thank you so much, KV. It's a pleasure to be here.
Folks, don't forget that if you're missing the part of today's presentation that is live, or you would like to find out more about what's going on here on the Fidelity brokerage side, sign up for the Fidelity Active Investor newsletter by going to fidelity.com/Active Investor Weekly. We on the strategy desk do a follow-up show specifically to this In the Money presentation every Friday at 1:30 Eastern. You can sign up for that by going to fidelity.com/InTheMoneyFollowUp. Everything else that we do here on the strategy team can be found by going to fidelity.com/coaching. And folks, we have to say goodbye to you for the next 3 weeks. We will be back on July 9th after a three-week break. Good luck to everybody. Until then, hopefully you don't miss us too much, and we will be back with you before you know it. Take care until then.
Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or, if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Options trading entails significant risk and is not appropriate for all investors. Certain complex option strategies carry additional risk. Before trading options, contact Fidelity Investments by calling 800-544-5115 to receive a copy of characteristics and risks of standardized options. Supporting documentation for any claims, if applicable, will be furnished upon request. There are additional costs associated with option strategies that call for multiple purchases and sales of options, such as spreads, straddles, and collars, as compared with a single option trade.
There are risks associated with investing in a public offering, including unproven management and established companies that may have substantial debt. As such, they may not be appropriate for every investor. Customers should read the offering prospectus carefully and make their own determination of whether an investment in an offering is consistent with their investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. The energy industries can be significantly affected by fluctuations in energy prices and supply and demand of energy fuels, energy conservation, the success of exploration projects, and tax and other government regulations. Stock markets are volatile and can fluctuate significantly in response to company, industry, political, regulatory, market, or economic developments. Investing in stock involves risks, including the loss of principal.
Technical analysis focuses on market action, specifically volume and price. Technical analysis is only one approach to analyzing stocks. When considering which stocks to buy or sell, you should use the approach that you're most comfortable with. As with all of your investments, you must make your own determination as to whether an investment in any particular security or securities is right for you based on your investment objectives, risk tolerance, and financial situation. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Greeks are mathematical calculations used to determine the effect of various factors on options. Indexes are unmanaged. It is not possible to invest directly in an index. Views expressed are as of the date indicated, based on the information available at that time, and may change based on market or other conditions. Unless otherwise noted, the opinions provided are those of Options Play, and not necessarily those of Fidelity Investments or its affiliates. Fidelity does not assume any duty to update any of the information. News, commentary, market data, and research reports are from third-party sources unaffiliated with Fidelity, unless otherwise noted, and are provided for informational purposes only. Fidelity does not endorse or adopt third-party content. Fidelity makes no guarantee that the information supplied is accurate, complete, or timely, and does not provide any warranties regarding results obtained from their use. Any screenshots, charts, or company trading symbols mentioned are provided for illustrative purposes only and should not be considered as an offer to sell, a solicitation of an offer to buy, or a recommendation for the security. Options Play and Fidelity Investments are independent entities and are not legally affiliated. The third-party trademarks appearing herein are the property of their respective owners. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
Copyright 2026, FMR LLC. All rights reserved.
Information provided in the podcast is general in nature, is provided for informational purposes only, and should not be construed as investment or tax advice. Fidelity Investments disclaims any liability for any direct or incidental loss incurred by applying any of the information in this podcast. This podcast is intended for U.S. persons only and is not a solicitation for any Fidelity product or service. This podcast is provided for your personal non-commercial use and is the copyrighted work of FMR LLC. You may not reproduce this podcast in whole or in part in any form without the permission of FMR LLC.